just to recap, because this process, as you remember, honorable members, we had a briefing on the 8th of October, and then why have you written this thing the upside down? Yeah. It was the 8th and the
6th.
10th. Oh, yes, sorry. 8th of October briefing by National Treasurer. On the 10th, we issued an advert. And then on the 18th, we closed the date. 22nd October, we had some public hearings. And there were no submissions, if you recall, honorable members. So I thought quickly, because, you know, as Honorable Kuranov said last week in the House, that the kind of bills we deal with are very technical and very demanding to the committee. And we learn a lot. Public hearings do really assist us in making sure that we grapple with issues as quickly as possible. Not that without the public hearings we are unable to grapple with issues, but I think that's a valid point. We do not have submissions for this. And I would therefore request both Advocate Jenkins and Madam Van Schoor. I try to speak Afrikaans from time to time, but names are difficult for me. Just to, not a presentation, just to take the committee back one, two, three, four steps, so that when we deal with these issues, we understand exactly what we are talking about again. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairman and committee members. I'm just briefly going to start to explain that these two bills go to other bills that's currently before the NCOB that's dealt with in the transport sector. Now, the reason why these two bills are before this committee is because the one bill is a money bill, and the other bill effectively is the bill that deals with administrative issues to implement the money bill, and its revisions can't be contained in the money bill because of the revisions of the constitution. I need to explain the two conventions that this relate to, and this is what's dealt with in two other bills, is they're giving effect to those conventions in South African law. The first one is the Civil Liability Convention, which basically provides that registered ship owners that transport oil must take out insurance, and they have strict liability in terms of what they may incur, meaning that you don't have to prove willful negligence on their side. Now, that insurance that they take out don't necessarily cover for all damage that occurred during the oil spill. For that purpose, there's another convention that provides for oil pollution compensation fund. Now, that's the fund that we will be referring to in the two bills. Now, so if a victim can't fully recover through the insurer from the ship owner, then they must recover or they have a claim against the oil pollution fund. Now, this fund is funded by levies by contributors, which are oil companies in countries that contribute a particular levy that's calculated by the fund on an annual basis. So those are those two. Now, specifically, the Contributions Bill provide for the imposition of a levy on South African oil imports to contribute to the fund. And this levy is to be paid by SARS, and that the process is outlined in the two bills. Now, I think one of the questions that were raised during the briefing session is now, why are we opting for the collection by SARS and not like most other countries, where contributors or oil companies, I will call them, by directly to the Oil Pollution Fund. Now the reason is that this is one of the first instances where the International Fund imposes levies, and we don't want to set a precedent where International Funds can come into South Africa and act basically as a tax collector. Because in the case where oil companies don't pay, the director must enforce compliance through court action in South Africa. And hopefully that would be unlikely, because it appears that the oil companies are more than willing to pay. But there's other conventions that's underway and will soon come to Parliament for implementation related to air pollution. And other matters, nuclear waste and so on, where the amounts will be quite substantial. And in this instance, the amounts mentioned currently being paid over would be around 3 million rand. So it's a small amount. But we do, in the building, provide that the payment will be done by the African government to the fund, which I think one can argue that this is, if you look at compliance with the convention, this is the best compliance that the International Fund could ask for, where the government pays over the funds, and then the recovery will take place through collecting by SARS from the oil companies. Now, the six oil importers currently is Engen, Shell, Chevron, BP, Total, and Sasol, and that will be liable to pay the bill. As I indicated, the administration bill basically contains certain administrative measures for the implementation of the levy by SARS within the current tax administration regime. For instance, there's a number of terms that you will say is not defined, but the provisions of the Tax Administration Act will apply when you implement this administration bill. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You want to add? Nothing.
Not really, sheep. My colleague from SARS mentioned the four bills, and this is part of those four bills. Two international conventions being implemented in terms of the constitution. International convention becomes part of South African law only after it's implemented in terms of national legislation. And that happened in the Transport Portfolio Committee, and then this one was just the collection of the money and the administration, how to collect that money. That's come to the Finance Committee.
Honorable Harris?
There's one question. The fund, the international fund, you know, where other countries, I think, is it that the gas companies will pay directly into the fund? In this instance, in Canada and here, you collect and then pay over. Have they been consulted whether they're happy with an arrangement like that? Do they like the Canadian model? And as you have said, obviously they'll make sure that they'll get the money now.
Yeah, I just need guidance quickly before I know which direction to go on my question, but our companies, ma'am, already contribute to the fund since 1992, correct?
Three of the companies already pays over contributions to the fund. They do need voluntary.
But now that we are signatories, we're now member states as of the other legislation, or when the other legislation is passed, we will be member states and we will be required, or our companies will then be required to pay into the fund. Can I just check, if we didn't pass these laws, then our companies would be signatories as a country, but like oil companies in all of the member states, the fund would collect directly from the oil companies without the revenue authority being involved. The model we're proposing is the Canadian model. But Chair, I do have concerns about that. I'm not entirely convinced why we need to follow this contrarian model rather than the model that everybody else uses, particularly as I've just discovered, or I've been advised, that the Canadian fund actually goes much, much further than what this bill envisions. I'm told, and I have yet to check this, I would appreciate SARS's input. But I'm told that the SARS, that the Canadian fund actually covers other ships and assists with the administration of claiming back from the fund, because apparently it's quite difficult to claim from the fund. So the Canadians do set up this collection fund, but then that fund has extra benefits for other ships in the country and also assists with processing. So I fear, Chair, that with this model we've taken, we're falling in between the two. We're sort of going halfway there. We're setting up a structure for collection, unlike the vast majority of other countries. But then that structure doesn't provide all these other value adds that the Canadians do. So I'm afraid I'm even more concerned now that this bill is not well designed and that we actually need to rethink our approach.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want to get an understanding or a reinforcement that what we are seeing in front of us on the bill for the contributions, it's actually the outcome, what you are doing, what you are implementing, what you are amending, is actually the outcome of the 1992 fund convention. Then if that is the case, our country has already made an agreement or a contract with other states that this needs to be done. Now, if then that is the case, it's just a clarity on Section 4, Clause 2, when you say a direct charge against the National Revenue Fund, have we already established that National Revenue Fund? What exactly, which fund are we talking about here? That's all, Chair.
Ma'am, over to you.
The first question, just to indicate, yeah, I just want to indicate I'm from National Treasury, not from SARS, but we developed a bill with together with SARS. I just want to explain the collection of the levy. It's two processes. The government will get invoice from the fund, which will indicate what is payable for the previous year. Then the minister will put notice in the gazette that will say what's the levy for that previous year that needs to be paid over. But the payment on a particular date as required by the convention will be done by government regardless of the collection process that SARS will engage in. And then also, there's another country that is the same model, that's Israel. But those are the only two ones, and we got confirmation from the African Maritime Organization in London that those are the two ones that have that model. Then, these two bills give effect to South Africans' obligations in terms of the conventions, the two conventions. Just on the question whether we consulted the fund or not, the provisions in the convention, the fund convention, specifically allows for this option where we can assume the obligations of the contributor in Article 14. So it is provided for, so we didn't consult the fund directly. On whether this is an acceptable model, because that's what the convention provides for.
Say, person, just quickly, the convention, is it old or new? How?
1992. Then, as I indicated, these both give effect to our obligations under these conventions. If there's add-ons through other legislation, in other countries' legislation, obviously that's their choice, to give other benefits to other ship owners. But what we were doing in these bills is to give effect to the conventions, and that's what we did. And just to elaborate or to repeat what I indicated in the beginning, is that it's important for us that we don't set a precedent where international funds come and collect as a tax collector in South Africa. And this is a role that our authority, SARS, should play. And therefore, we think this model would work. And there will be compliance by government. Then on the question of the... Sorry, Honourable Dlamini, you have explained it. As indicated, the question that you asked about the National Revenue Fund, that's the fund that's established in terms of the Constitution where all monies are paid from the equitable share is appropriated from that fund. So it's in a fund that's in existence. But you can only provide for direct charges against that fund through legislation, treasury, or not treasury legislation, sorry, through money bills. You can't do through ordinary legislation.
Okay. Clear? Right. Alice?
Chair, the levies payable are set by the IOPC. So I presume the minister setting the rate in the draft law is related to kind of overheads. Of the collection. Am I correct with that?
No, any administrative cost that will be incurred will not be imposed on the oil country, the oil and gas companies, and they will only pay what is the levy. But it may vary. Even if you read the convention, some years the director of the fund may decide only to levy a portion of the amount at the beginning of the year and then the rest later of that year. So that's why we also provided for a process where the minister annually determined the levy. But the full amount as required by the fund will be paid over by the government, and we must just ensure that through the levying of from the oil companies that we cover the funds that we have to pay over. But you working with the previous calendar year, so it's easy to determine. And there will be an invoice submitted by the director, but prior to that there's a submission of information to the fund as to the number of entities that imported oil and then also the amount of oil. And based on that information, the director determines the levy.
Yeah, the last...
Yeah, so just to clarify, it's not the intention that the minister would ever determine a rate for the levy that was more than the effective levy to the IOPC.
No, I think if you refer to Section 3 of the Contributions Bill, it's made clear in 3.1A and B what should be taken into account. It's the contributions calculated by the director of the fund and also the volume of the contributing oil imposed in the tax period. The second part is not strictly speaking necessary, but to have that would be best to include as well. So it can't include any administrative costs that SARS incur in collecting the levy.
Clear?
Okay. I disagree.
Okay. Honourable members, after this explanation on the contribution for merchant shipping pollution compensation fund, can I put it before the committee that we support or a move and a seconder? Eris?
Can I just say that until we pass these laws, we are exposed. Because we're essentially not complying with international obligations. So we will support the legislation, but I have serious reservations that I've expressed, and I'd like them to be noted in the committee report, that we're taking an approach that is out of step with other countries.
The Canadian model.
And we're taking the Canadian model, but we're not going far enough. The Canadians provide all of these other benefits for their fund. Ours is simply a burden on SARS, an extra set of red tape. And I think we need to be open to, like the vast majority of other countries on Earth, allowing the IOPC to come and collect what they do from companies here. So I have serious reservations about the approach we're taking. but I realize that if we don't do the pass these bills now, we remain vulnerable. So we will support them, but with extreme reservations, as I've just expressed.
Honourable members, any support or seconder? Thank you. I'm signing, honourable members. Left a few days of this committee, so this signature must work. The second is on the administration, same topics and subject. Questions? Or can I put it before the committee? Support? Mover? Honorable Koranoff, I see you agree. Supporter? Or seconded? Thank you, Madam Wazan. Thank you. That brings us to the end of our program for today. I'm informed the House is sitting tomorrow. I mean today.
Till half past eight.
Till half past eight this evening. Okay, honourable members, thank you very much. Honourable Harris.
Can I just clarify what's on our program for tomorrow, please?
You know, Ellen was just trying to check something with me. Can we calculate that within the next 20 minutes? Thank you. Thank you very much. Lunch is ready. In the restaurant.
No, still this.
You right? I'll roll out.
I show.
Good. You made that statement.